halacha segment of today's shiur, I'd like to talk about Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. We discussed this a little bit. It came up in Bava Basra and Bava Gimel Amid Beis in the context of taking apart a shul to build a new shul, but I'd like to flesh out these inyanim a little bit more. We know that there is Kedusha to a Beis HaKnesses. In fact, there's a Machlokas HaRishonim what that Kedusha is based on. Right? The Ramban in Masechta Megillah, the Ran quotes this Ramban. Ramban says that a Beis HaKnesses is no worse than Tashmishe Mitzvah, then Tzitzis. Tzitzis are Tashmishe Mitzvah, you use them to fulfill the Mitzvah of Tzitzis. The halacha is Tashmishe Mitzvah can be Nizrokin, they can be thrown out, but you're not supposed to throw them out. B'makom B'zayon, you're not supposed to know, you're minig B'zayon with Tashmishe Mitzvah. So the Ramban says the same thing with a shul. A shul is used for Mitzvah, people daven in the shul, so you're not supposed to be knowing, you're minig B'zayon in the shul. The Ran went even further than the Ramban. The Ran says that a Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha Mitzav Atzma, it has intrinsic Kedusha. He says because they say Dvarm Sheba Kedusha in the Shul, so Chazal put a Kedusha Derabbanan on a Beis HaKnesses. They put a Kedusha Derabbanan on the Shul. The Chaye Odom quotes from the Yireim that maybe there's a Kedusha Daraisa on a Shul, similar to the Rabba with a twist. He says maybe there's a Kedusha Daraisa on a shul, just like the Beis HaMikdash. We know the Beis HaMikdash is a Makom Kadosh, is a Kedusha Daraisa, and in fact there's a mitzvah of Mora Mikdash, Mikdashi Tiro, a person has to have an awe in the Makom HaMikdash, Harabayas, and the Beis HaMikdash itself. So too, Zok the Yireim, the same holds true by a Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses is like a Mikdash Ma'at, as we know, right? The Gemara in Megillah says that, but the Knesses, but the Midrashas have a status of a Mikdash Ma'at, so they also have a din of Mora Mikdash. They would be like the Beis HaMikdash. There is a sense of Kedusha in the Beis HaKnesses, in the Beis Medrash, similar to the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe that's why there's an inyan of Kedusha. It's not just the Kedusha Derabbanan, like the Ran says. The Chazal put on the Beis HaKnesses a Kedusha Derabbanan because we say Dvarim Sheba Kedusha in the Beis HaKnesses. But maybe more, maybe it's compared to the Beis HaMikdash. Just like there's a mitzvah of Mora Mikdash in the Beis HaMikdash, there'd be a mitzvah of Mora Mikdash Ma'at, so to speak, in the Beis HaKnesses. And so these are the different reasons why a person has to treat the Beis HaKnesses properly, be'ofen shel kavod, not to be mevasa the Beis HaKnesses, because it has some kind of a status of Kedusha. So Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim and Simin Kuf Nun Aleph, Sif Aleph, outlines, based on the Gemara Megillah, some of the halachas that relate to Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses. Shulchan Aruch says that Bate Knesses, Bate Midrashas, Einogim Behem Kalos Rosh, that you're not allowed to be frivolous in the Beis HaKnesses and in the Beis Medrash. You can't be lightheaded to be engaged, Kagon Tzchok, Vehitul, Vesicha Betela, to engage in, you know, joking around and Sicha Betela. Vein Ochlin v'shol sin b'hem, you're not allowed to eat and drink in the shul in the Beis HaMedrash. Vein Echnosim ben b'chama b'nei achama b'nei akshamim. You can't go into the shul if you want to protect yourself from the elements. Let's say a person's walking around outside, it's freezing cold outside, so you're going to go into the shul, you're taking a long walk. Let's say you have to get to a kiddush. So, you know, it's a half an hour walk, so you walk for 50 minutes and you find the shul. So let's go into the shul, we'll take a break for 5 minutes, warm up a little bit, and then we'll continue walking. It's awesome. You can't do that because there's Kedushas Beis HaKnesses and you're being revised in the shul by doing that. Well, let's say it's raining outside and you're going to shelter yourself in the shul. I'm not talking about in the antechamber to the shul. Let's say there's just a sanctuary. It's like a shtibel that, you know, if you when you open the door, you're in the shul. Now, to enter into the antechamber of the shul, that doesn't have Kedusha that you'd be allowed to do. But to enter into the sanctuary, to take, let's say the heat's only working in the sanctuary, not outside, whatever. To enter into the shul, to protect yourself from the heat, from the cold, from the geshamim, that's also as well. The Shulchan Aruch does point out that for Talmid HaChamim, the Talmideim, there are certain kulis. There are certain kulis. Maybe it's mutter to eat and drink in a shul. Midochak, the Shulchan Aruch says, that if there's no other place to eat, so maybe it's permissible for them to eat there. Mishnah Berurah says that someone who learns bekvios in the shul, who learns bekvios in the Beis Medrash, it's always a shas adchak. What, they're going to go home to eat? So, again, if you have an antechamber, if you have a side room, if you have an annex, so obviously there's a place to eat. But if there's no other place to eat besides the Beis Medrash, so we can understand it's a shas adchak for them to eat in the shul. So maybe then there's a dispensation. Maybe. the Ramah, that there's a Yeshomer, that in a Beis Medrash, a Talmud Chacham is allowed to eat even Shalom Midochat. Mishnah Berurah says, because if a Talmud Chacham is learning constantly, he's learning Bekfiyas in the Beis Medrash, so then that's his house, so like that's where he lives, so it's understood that he'd be allowed to eat there. It's a Yeshomer, some say. But if a person is not learning Bekfiyas, then he's not supposed to eat in the Beis Medrash, not supposed to eat in the Shul. If he just comes in for, like, he's learning a little bit, so he really shouldn't eat. Wait till he finishes. And even those who are learning Bekfiyas, obviously there are different rules. You know, if they don't allow you to eat in the Beis Medrash, you should listen to the rules. And if you're only allowed to drink, so you only drink. You're learning a three-hour Seder each and every day, and that's the only time, you know, so to go outside, that's Bittul Torah. You know, if you can have the drink next to you, and you can continue learning, and if you're thirsty, then you can drink, so there might be a heter to drink in that circumstance. But if that's not the case, then one is not supposed to be eating and drinking in shul. The Shulchan Aruch there in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph, Sif Yud Aleph, points out that if they make a tanai when they build the shul, that the shul should not have kedusha, meaning that we should be able to engage in these activities, so then it's permissible. We're familiar with this Gemara. We had it in the Tosfos, right? The Shulchan Aruch says that if they make a tanai, so then it's mutter. It's mutter to engage in these activities. But Zakta Shulchan Aruch, it's mutter to use the shul for other purposes, b'chorbanam, but not b'yeshuva. What's the Shulchan Aruch referring to? So we know there's a machlokas harishonim. The Gemara Megillah and Daf Chavches says that but the kinesios shebabavel al tnai hein asuyos, that but the kinesios in Bavel, shaila what that means, if it's dafka Bavel or all chutzlaretz. So let's just assume that it's all of chutzlaretz, that mistama they make the bat ekneisios and chutzlaretz al tnai, as the Mishnah Berurah explains, since at the time of Mashiach the people are going to leave chutzlaretz, so the bat ekneisios are going to lose their kedusha because no one's going to be going to the shul anymore. So therefore, they made them al tnai from the beginning that they shouldn't have a full kedusha. But what does that mean? So we know Rashi holds that bat ekneisios shebabavel al tnai hein asuyos means that even be yeshuva they made al tanai, that you're allowed to use them, you're allowed to use them for other purposes besides davening, even be yeshuva, even when the Beis HaKnesses is still standing. But Tosfos argues, Tosfos says that dafka b'churbana, even b'churbana, the Beis HaKnesses still has a certain sense of kedusha, even b'churbana. But if it's made al tanai, so then b'churbana, perhaps there's room to be lenient. So the Shulchan Aruch is machmir for Tosfos. Tosfos holds like this, the Rosh holds like this, that the tanai, the bat ekneisios shebabavel al tanai nasuyos, that only works for b'churbana, but b'yeshuvam the tanai doesn't work. Tanai doesn't work, so all of the halachas apply. The Mishnah Berurah starts to chip away. That there are some who claim that maybe if there's a tzorech, achila and shesia, perhaps should be mutter in the shul if there's a tzorech. It's not so sure. There's a whole discussion. I mean, there are different levels of Kalas Rosh. There are different levels of Dover Maguna. You know, Kalas Rosh Gadol, a big Kalas Rosh, obviously, that should be Aser B'Yeshuva if you're going to be Machmer for Tosfos. It could even be according to the other Mepharshim as well, according to Rashi too. Maybe Dover Maguna Ma'od, one shouldn't do, you know, to change a diaper Chalila in Shuv. You know, that you probably shouldn't be doing even according to Rashi, even if it's made Al Pnat. But Kalas Rosh, there are different levels. Achila Chesia is a type of Kalas Rosh, but maybe Litzorech, the Mishnah Berurah quotes of some Achronim, maybe Litzorech, it should be permissible. And there are those that claim that, you know, Litzorech Mitzvah, it's permissible. That's why there are many that have a Shalashudis in Shul, or, you know, they'll have a Sheva Brachas in Shul. If there's a real Tzorech, a tzorech rabbim to have a suda, and they don't have a simcha room. There's no, the simcha room is not available. Let's say someone else is using the simcha room, but I need a place. If it's for a tzorech mitzvah, then there might be room to be mekel. Room to be mekel, but I thought you said that tanai doesn't work. Be yeshuvo. That's how Tosfos learns. Yeah, but there is the Rashi. There's the Rashi to be mekel for. So some say if it's a tzorech, maybe that's more. It's not just stam and achil and a shasir, that you're having a, you know, coffee and a Danish in the morning. No, there's a tzorech mitzvah. So if there's a tzorech mitzvah, maybe you can be mitzarev that she does Rashi in order to be maker. But it's not simple. It's really not simple. You know, people think it's mutter to eat in shul. It's mutter to have a suda in shul. It's not so simple. You're being maker for Shitas Rashi, because according to Tosfos that should be also even the Tzorach Mitzvah that should be also. Yeah. A bris or the suda of the bris?
No, you have to make a cup of wine when you get a
little. No, but that's a tzorech of the mitzvah. That's a tzorech of the bris and shul. You definitely can have. You're supposed to have the bris and shul. Nah, you don't have to have the bris and shul. You can have it outside of shul, but that's not a problem. The cup of wine is okay. The cup of wine is okay. Even that is a mitzvah. You're making a bracha on the cup of wine. Making a brichas ha-mitzvah. The bracha. Brachas that you're making are related to the bris. That would be permissible. But having a suda, that's a different story. Yes?
If one was eating in a kiddush outside of shul, and it was like very hot outside, they're not allowed to go inside to eat in shul to... Like,
if you're only going inside to eat in shul because it's cooler in the shul, that would be awesome, yeah. Because then you're only going inside to cool yourself off. It's not a tzorech mitzvah. No, there are sometimes there are kiddushim. It comes to mind as you mentioned this. Sometimes the simcha room is right outside the shul, so the kiddush is taking place in the simcha room. But like, you know, there are kids that like to, you know, they want to sit down, right? And there's no place to sit, so they take their food and they bring it inside the shul. I don't know if that's really appropriate. I don't know if that's appropriate because it's not necessary. If you're having a suud in the shul, you need to set up the tables. You're having guests. You're having 100 people, and you can't have the simcha room. It's being used. So what are you supposed to do? So then you have to have the suud in the shul. But to choose to eat in the shul as opposed to the simcha room, I'm not sure that that's permissible. That's so posh it. Yeah.
Can I go in there to make kiddush though, and then like if I'm
to go in where to make kiddush?
Into the shul to make kiddush inside, like would that be part of the doing mitzvah like in shul?
And then you're gonna eat in the simcha room? What do you mean?
Make actual kiddush.
Have the whole kiddush in the shul, but why do you have to eat there? Why don't you eat in the simcha room? It's not a tzorah to eat in the shul.
What if the simcha room is being set up for lunch? Yeah, the whole day.
So so you're saying you're having a kiddush to have a kiddush. Is that a tzorech mitzvah to have a kiddush? Some people think that's the biggest mitzvah on Shabbos. Does the chassan have a shem chassan on Shabbos? The ufruf, he has a shem chassan. If he has a shem chassan, so you're being mesamech a chassan, so maybe that is a mitzvah. Maybe that's a tzorech. It's no different than having the suda of the ufruf later there. People must assume that the kiddush is a tzarech mitzvah. What's the tzarech mitzvah? Let's say a person is making a kiddush to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the birth of his child. Right? They make a kiddush for the birth of a girl or something. You could say that's a tzarech mitzvah too. Karas HaTov. Seriously. You're making a kiddush l'shem shemayim. Right? To thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe that's taka tzarech too. My point is, think about it. You know, it's not such a dover poshet. There really has to be a tzorech. If not, it's really inappropriate to just stomp feel that you can eat in the shul whatever you want. Yes?
Zach's example where you have the kiddush outside and you want to come back and it's too hot. If the kiddush is a tzorech mitzvah, but now you're doing your best to protect the elements, is that okay?
I'm sorry, now there's the potential.
If the kiddush is a tzorech mitzvah, you have to do it outside and now it's too hot and you're going to go in. But since it's a tzorech mitzvah, is it okay to use the shul?
It's too hot outside. What, the whole group is going to go inside the shul? No? Yeah, it's too hot. No one can be outside.
Starts raining.
It starts raining outside, so now you're going to go inside the shul. I don't know. It's not a simple zach. It's not a simple thing, because you're going inside the shul to protect yourself from the rain. Not going inside the shul to eat. I don't know. Very, very complicated. Yes, I got to think about that one. Yes.
What if you have a room that is called, let's say, a kiddush room or a simple room, but they also have minyan in it, consistently?
They have minyanim there. It's a regular beis haknesses.
They use it as a beis haknesses, but they call it a simple room.
The aron is there. The sefer Torah is there.
There is an aron and sefer Torah.
There is an aron and sefer Torah there. They call it the kiddush room because that's where they.
Uh-huh. It's a lot of shoes, like as they grow, they kind of just use the amenis, the yanim.
I guess we're assuming that a kiddush is a tzarech mitzvah. That's what people are assuming. That the kiddush is a tzarech mitzvah. What, do people have a kiddush? People, you mean shuls just have a kiddush? Stam, to have a kiddush! No, but they feel that it's a tzarech mitzvah too, because the point is, what you're doing is you're bringing people into the shul. They wouldn't want to join the shul if they don't have the kiddush. I don't know if you call that a tzarech mitzvah. I don't know. As you see, we're grappling with this issue because it's not really poshut. It's not poshut. Not poshut. I saw some of the svarim say that the rebbes are careful when they make a shtibur that they say that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses should not. They're not making a Beis HaKnesses. They're making a shtibel. Shtibel is not a Beis HaKnesses. A shtibel is a room where they daven. And they bedavka call it a shtibel because they don't want this problem. That, you know, are you allowed to eat in the shul? You're not allowed to eat in the shul. Not so simple. It's really not so simple. I guess the answer is similar to what some of the Rishonim are going to say about other things we'll talk about, and that is maybe the Olam is Mekel Fashidas Rashi, even though the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir for Tosfos, that B'Yishuvim Tanai doesn't work. Maybe the Olam is Mekel Fashidas Rashi. If you Mekel Fashidas Rashi, so then unless it's a Dover Maguna Ma'od, Tanai should work. And they assume that the Yachil and Shasi of the Kiddush is not Maguna Ma'od. Let's hope it's not Maguna Ma'od, depending on what is drunk at the Kiddush. So then they hold that Shitas Rashi is enough to be made before. Yes?
Does declaring the Beis HaKnesses a Beis Medrash make a difference?
Does declaring a Beis HaKnesses
to be a Beis Medrash also?
Beis Medrash has greater Kedusha than a Beis HaKnesses.
But isn't there more room to be made for a Beis?
Only if you're a Talmud Chacham, only if you're learning the B'Kfiyas. If you're not learning the B'Kfiyas, then it's. The Kula is if you're learning the B'Kfiyas. One more, yes?
A lot of like Yeshua sometimes have like a. Events with like a guy who's speaking or something like that? Would that be like
with a guy speaking?
Yeah, like
in the shul?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Having events in the shul, if it's a tzarech mitzvah, if you're having a dinner in the shul to collect stock up for something, it's one thing, but. Just stam having a lecture, about safety. The police department comes to talk to the members of the community, and they're having the lecture. The police department with the lecture in the sanctuary itself. I don't think that's appropriate. So you would say, but it's the shmira. Find another place. It doesn't have to be in the shul. I don't think so. I don't think that's appropriate. Okay, let's go through some of the inyanim that the Shulchan Aruch discusses. And let's try to apply these halachas. Schok v'hito, right? The Shulchan Aruch begins by saying that schok v'kalas rosh one certainly is not supposed to do in shul. So I think it's a dover pasha based on this that, you know, kids running around in shul, people bring their kids to shul. The kids are not b'nei chinuch in the shul, they're basically running around the whole time. So kids running around in shul, that's a design of the shul, that's schok v'kalas rosh. Does it matter that the adults are not doing the schok v'kalas rosh? They brought the kid. They're being machshel the child to be running around and making a scene in the shul. I don't think that that's appropriate. In fact, it's probably not appropriate. Sometimes, you know, adults go down for shalosh shudas, and you know what happens. The kids have to find a place to play, so they come back into the shul. So either they're playing races or tag, or they're playing hockey or whatever it is, in the shul itself. I mean, I get the sense you know what I'm talking about, right? We've all seen this. That's chok v'kalas rosh. You can't play games in the sanctuary. That's a terrible design of the shul. You got to find another place. It's important for the shul. Look, it's important to have kids in the shul. It's important for adults to feel that they can bring their kids to the shul. There is an appropriate age to bring the kids to the shul. But if you have to bring the kids to the shul to play, so find a mokum for them to play. You have to find a separate room. They should not be playing in the sanctuary. Sichas Chulin, the Shulchan Aruch talks about Sichas Chulin in the shul. This is a big problem that you're not supposed to speak Sicha Betela. Stam Sicha. You can talk about, you know, Chumash and Rashi, talk about a vart that you have on the Parsha, talk about Bava Basra, the vart that you learned during the week. But we know, a lot of people just shmooze in shul, right? I'm not talking about during davening. Obviously, shmoozing during Kriyas HaTorah and during davening, that's not what we're talking about. That's obviously awesome. Right? That's a design of Kriyas HaTorah, it's a design of Tefillah. I'm talking about shmoozing stam. A person comes to shul early. So he should be learning, but okay, he comes to shul early and he meets someone. So he starts to shmooze. How are you? Shul ends. What do people do? They don't walk out of the shul to shmooze. People shmooze in shul. That's the way it is. People shmooze in shul. Not during tefillah. L'chor, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that's inappropriate. That's sichas chulin. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Zohar and Sifkat and Beis. The Zohar is very strong about this, that people should be careful not to speak Sicha B'Teila in shul at all. And yet we know people do. So how can we understand this? Aruch HaShulchan writes in Sif Hei that maybe the Olam is Samech on Shitas Rashi. Maybe we assume that Bat HaKnesio Shebebovel Al Tanai Hein Asuyos. So if the Beis HaKnesis is made Al Tanai, so then Sicha B'Teila is not a Dover Maguna Ad Ma'od. It depends what Sicha B'Teila you do. If you're cracking jokes, then that might be worse. you're stam talking, how are you, and how are the kids, and this and that, and maybe, again, it is a type of kalas rosh, but it's not a davar maguna adma oats. If you'll be making for Rashi, maybe that's a limud schus, maybe that's a limud schus. They consider it, it's a tzorech to bond with other people. You know, part of the importance of a shul is that people should have a place where they go, where they consider home. They feel a connection to the shul. This is the way that we develop a connection to the shul. If you're never going to talk to anyone who comes to shul, everyone just walks into the shul and they daven. It's beautiful and it's quiet, and then shul ends and everyone just leaves. So they're not going to have any camaraderie. They're not going to, you know, if you don't have a wing schmooze sometimes, or you don't just schmooze after davening, you're not going to have that kind of chevershaft that's going to draw people to the shul. So they consider it a tzorech, and then make of Shitas Rashi, maybe to assume that the tenai will work for that. You got to be careful with it, because even sicha b'teila, the only sicha b'teila that's permissible is a sicha b'teila where you're talking about something that's a tzorech, that's a toeles, but stam to crack jokes like tzonas and things like that, that's kalus rosh gadol. That even Shitas Rashi is not going to help you for. Like, you know, sometimes people are laughing in the shul, they're joking in the shul. You can't really rely on Rashi for that. You got to be very careful. The best thing to do is to say good Shabbos to someone, to ask someone a quick question about how they are, you know, how's everything, how are the kids. If you want to have a conversation, go out of the sanctuary. Everyone should leave the sanctuary. And then you can schmooze outside. Have everyone be schmoozing outside. But the schmooze in the sanctuary, Shulchan Aruch seems to be saying it's a real design of the Beis HaKnesses, and it's appropriate not to do. Cell phones. We know people bring their cell phones into the shul, and the cell phone goes off in the shul. Right? That's a kalas rosh gadol. That's a bizayon for the shul, no question about it. I've seen people answer the phone in shul. They answer the phone. I kid you not. You sometimes hear, guys finish when I ask you ready, and it's a call. He wants to take. First of all, you should be looking at your phone in the shul. But he answers the phone quickly. You're in the middle of Shmona Esa, and he's answering the phone. Sometimes they're answering the phone on the way out, but they still answer the phone in the shul. It's a davar pasha that's a design for the shul that shouldn't be done. The best thing should be that a person shouldn't bring their phone into the shul at all. There are some shuls that have like cubbies outside the shul where they put the cell phones. That's really the best thing to do. Having the phone in the shul is a design of the Beis HaKnesses. It's not. It doesn't really belong there. It doesn't belong there. You can keep it on your belt, okay, but if it's going to go off, if it's going to vibrate, even vibrating in the shul is not the best thing. It's better than going off, but it's not the best thing. You certainly shouldn't be looking at the phone, seeing who's calling. That's not appropriate for a shul. Some people daven from the phone. You know, they like to daven from the phone. You know, you see, they're scrolling up and up the phone. L'chora, if you have a sitter, you really should be davening from the phone. It's not covered based on Knesset, and it's not really covered tefillah either. You know, some people, they're outside the shul, they don't have a sitter, so then they're using the cell phone. So if you know the tefillah bal peh, I would say better to daven bal peh than from a cell phone. If you don't know the tefillah bal peh, so then it's a tzorech, so then I would say you can daven from the cell phone. But I would avoid the cell phone, because you know what happens. The person davens from the cell phone, and he scrolls up, and then he finishes davening, he's waiting for the shliach tzibah. But he has his phone, so then he starts to scroll other things. The cell phone doesn't belong in the shul, and it doesn't belong in tefillah. You really have to make a break with the cell phone when you're about to daven. I think this is a very important yisod. Cell phone should not be in the shul. The Shulchan Aruch says that you're not even supposed to go into the shul to call someone out. Let's say you have to get someone from the shul. Someone's in the shul, he's learning, and you want to get him. His wife is outside. His kid is outside, and you're going into again. You're not allowed to do that either, because you're not coming into the shul for any dvar mitzvah. You're not coming into the shul to learn. You're coming to the shul to call someone. So you're not even allowed to do that. That's a davar shalchol. That's for your own sorach to call someone. The Shulchan Aruch says that in such a circumstance, you should do something in the shul. Walk into the shul, say a mishnah to yourself, say a halacha, say a pasuk, sit down a little bit. Sit down, they say the shir is 8 tfachim. Kashir of two psachim. Sit down a little bit. You know, you could say Ashrei, say the first pasuk in Ashrei. It takes 2 seconds, but at least you're showing that you're coming into the shul for a shul purpose, for a davar shebekdusha, not davar shebekdusha, but not just for dvarim shalchol, but for a dvar mitzvah. So then it's not a bizayon of the shul, and then you can call the person to come out of the shul. There's a famous halacha that many are familiar with, that you're not supposed to make a kapandaria through the shul. You're not supposed to make a shortcut in the shul. Shulchan Aruch and Kufnun Aleph Sif Hey says if there are two openings in the shul, there's a Pesach in the front, a Pesach in the back, and you have to get to the other side, so you shouldn't walk through the shul to get to the other side. That's a bizayin of the shul. Also a bizayin of the shul, to make a shortcut. The Bir Halacha quotes from the Rambam that the real reason for this is that you're not allowed to come into the shul except for a Dvar Mitzvah. So here you're not coming in for a Dvar Mitzvah, you're coming in to make the shortcut. So what's the heck to come into the shul b'chlal? I saw, they quote from the Chavos Yoyer that making a shortcut applies not only going from one door of the shul to the other door of the shul, but even in the shul itself. To make a shortcut through the bima, to get from one part of the shul to the other, is also a problem. The bima has a greater kedusha than the rest of the shul. Sometimes people do this. You know, they're located on one side of the shul, and if there's some people standing, or they're in one of the pews, and it's more complicated to walk around, so they just walk from one side to the other, derech the bima. The Chavos Yoyer felt that that's the same problem, because you're walking through the shul, through the bima, just to make a shortcut. Maybe that's inappropriate. Maybe that's also inappropriate. Something to think about. Maybe one should walk around. By the same token, according to the Rambam, let's say there's a storage room in the shul. Well, let's say there's an office in the shul. And you're walking into the shul to get to the office, to get to the storage room, to take something out. That's inappropriate also. Even if you don't have to get to somewhere beyond the shul, but if you're walking into the shul not for a dvar mitzvah, just to get to the office, then that would be a problem. In such a case, what should one do? Say a person has to get there. Right? That's the storage area is the only... That's where they made the storage area. What should one do? So the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha says that for kapandaria, you should do the same thing that the Shulchan Aruch says about calling someone out of the shul. You should sit down a little bit. Sit down in the shul, say a pasuk, you know, do something that's a dvar mitzvah, and that would solve the problem. I saw the Sefer Piskei Tshuva says he's not so sure. He quotes Poskim that say that it's not clear that for kapandaria that works. And he says, certainly if one does this, but often shall kvius, meaning, let's say, he always comes into the shul to make the shortcut. It's a lot shorter to go that way. So he always comes in, he sits down, and he goes out. If it's done b'derech kvius, right, if it's done, you know, regularly, then that's a bizayim too. You know, if it's bar kroy ba'alma, it happens to be one time that you want to make the shortcut, so you're going to sit down a little bit in shul, or you're going to say a pasuk or something, so maybe that's okay. But if you're going to do it b'ofen shel kvius, it's not so clear that it's permissible to do. If there's no other way to get to the other side, it's not that you can walk around the shul. That's the only way to get there. Or that's the only way to get to the storage area. So maybe there's room to be mekel. But it's not such a davar pasha. It's not a davar pasha that you can be mekel in all circumstances. So yeah, you've got to be careful before you're lenient for these kinds of things. Okay, and finally, the Shulchan Aruch says that one is allowed to enter into the Beis HaKnesses with his wallet, allowed to enter wearing shoes. If you go on the Har HaBayis, you have to take off your shoes. You're not allowed to go with your wallet. You're not allowed to go on the Har HaBayis with your cell phone. They're not going to let you go on with your cell phone. But you got to take off your shoes and your wallet as well. But yet, when it comes to a shul, then one is allowed to. Why? It's a Gemara. The Gemara in Brochus, Adav Samach Gimel, says that even if a Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMikdash are compared, that they're not exactly the same. The Beis HaMikdash is the Beis Hashem. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bayis. We come to visit him. But the Beis HaKnesses is like our bayis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit us, so to speak. Right? We invite him into the shul. So the shul, the Lashon of the Gemara in Brachas, is the Beis HaKnesses, is Ki Beiso. Ki, Kof Yud, Beiso. It's like one's house. So something that a person is makbid on in his house, he should be makbid on in shul. If he wouldn't do certain things in his house, in his living room, and in his dining room, he shouldn't do in shul. But if he'll do it in his living room and his dining room, then it's permissible to do in shul. Not everything. People, unfortunately, speak sicha b'tayli in their house. That's not what we're talking about. That's also in the shul anyway. But there are certain things that the Gemara identifies, like a person wears shoes in their home. Right? He'll wear his wallet. He doesn't take off his wallet when he walks in the door. Right? He'll wear his wallet. He'll wear his shoes. He'll do certain activities in his home. He doesn't feel that there's any problem. So those activities one is allowed to do in shul. Specific activities, these specific activities. But on the Har HaBayis in the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash, they're not allowed to wear shoes because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home. That's a different level. That's a higher level. Rabbi Schechter quotes from the Rav, that the Rav found that you should be careful not to go into shul with rubbers on, you know, rubbers that cover over your shoes, or rubber boots that cover over the shoes. He says, because most people, you know, if you're wearing rubbers because it's raining outside, so when you come in your home, then you'll take off the rubbers at the door, and then you'll walk into the home with your shoes. You're not going to walk around the house with your wet rubbers. So the same should be true with the shul. Right? If the shul is ki beiso, so just like you wouldn't do certain those things that you don't do in your home, you shouldn't do in the shul either. So if you're not going to wear rubbers throughout your home, you shouldn't wear them in the shul either. The Rav felt you should be makpid to take off the rubbers outside the shul. Now they have different... I was talking to someone about rubbers. He didn't even know what I was talking about. Do people wear rubbers? They have these boots that are like shoe boots. They don't go over the shoes, but they actually are shoes. They're boots. People wear the boots. So can you wear these boots, snow boots and other boots, can you wear these boots in shul? So I was thinking about it. Do people wear those boots at home, or do they take off the boots? They walk around in their socks at home? They take off the boots at the door when they come in? I'm not sure. I think if the boots are very bulky, if they're very bulky and very snow-like, and like, you know, people are going to, you know, like sometimes you look at people walking into shul with these big boots and you say to yourself, it looks funny. If it looks funny, it's better not to do it. You know, I know it's snowing outside, but so what should a person do? I don't know. Take your shoes in a bag. We're trying to show cover for the Beis HaKnesses. I think it's important to think about it. Again, it's a function of what people do. If most people, you know, go in with their snow boots, they go in with the shoe boots, and they're not so big, then it's okay. But you know, if the shoe boots are so big that, like, you look at, sometimes they have these big boots, but it happens to be that these are the boots I have, so I'm wearing these big, you know, rubber boots that come up above my knee. It looks like, you know, I go fishing in these boots. I mean, that's... You daven like that. It's not a cover for the Beis HaKnesses. I think that Sada Shavah of all of these halachas, that a person has to think. Just have to think. If you were going to a chashuv person, if you were going to the dean, talk to the dean about something important to you. You're going to the White House, right? Would you wear these boots? Right? Would you talk sicha b'teila then? Obviously not. A person has to have an aima when they come into the Beis HaKnesses to understand, what am I doing in the shul? If we understand what we're doing in the shul, so then hopefully we'll follow all of the halachas of the Shulchan Aruch, we'll treat the shul with the proper cover, with the proper kedusha, and hopefully all the tefillos will be miskabel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept all of our tefillos and fulfill all of our desires.